Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Well, praise the Lord, I am Michael Jakes, and welcome to The Bible Speaks Live. We're here with our Hot Topic Tuesday. We pray that all is well with you once again as we do open up the Word of God. Tonight we are coming to you with a topic entitled, That I May Speak Boldly. Amen. What is it? What does it really mean to be bold for Jesus? Amen. I'm sure that it's a phrase that we've all heard throughout our Christian life. And what does it mean to be bold? What is the extent and what is the necessity of being bold for Jesus? Well, we're going to be talking about it on this edition of the Hot Topic Tuesday. We pray that you will stay with us. Get your Bible out. Get your smart device out. We're going to be going into Scripture as we usually do. Amen. As we always do, we're going to be going into Scripture. And we pray that your time spent in God's Word will be a fruitful one indeed. That is paramount, that when we go into God's Word, that we come away having known that we were in God's Word, and we come away with something tangible that we can take and apply to our own lives. Amen. So that's so important. And once again, we are glad that you have joined us. Amen. If you are watching us right now with Facebook, we ask that you share out this page that others also may be blessed. We always want to ensure that as many as possible are able to hear this life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so once again, we just bless the Lord and thank him once again for giving us this opportunity. God bless you, my brother Terrence, Pastor Jeff, Doris. God bless you, my brother Frank. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. We're going to pray and we're going to get right into this word that we believe that the Lord has placed upon our hearts for this moment. Amen. Lord, we bless your name and we honor you and we thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you have done, Lord Jesus. Lord, when we think about the things that you have done for us, Lord Jesus, our words fail us, Lord Jesus. We do not have the vocabulary to fully express and appreciate who you are and what you have done for us, Lord Jesus. But Lord, with whatever breath we have, Lord Jesus, we're going to spend our life giving you glory, giving you praise, giving you honor, Lord Jesus, and giving back in some semblance what you have done for us, giving back to you that which you have given to us, Lord, and that is love. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you have done for us. And, Lord, we pray that for the next few minutes, Lord, that you might be the silent listener to all that we do and say. Lord, I pray you might draw those who need to hear this word at this time to this place on the World Wide Web. Lord, I pray you will speak to us as you have never spoken before. Lord, at this time, in this age, Lord, we need boldness now more than ever. So, Lord, I pray that you will have your way. Speak to every heart, Lord, and we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. And in your name we do pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Alrighty, there's so many places that we could start when we start talking about boldness. So many places that we can go. And we all have an understanding of what it means to be bold. As far as we can understand what it means to be bold. But let me give you a biblical definition of this word boldness. And it simply means, very simply, to have confidence, to be able to speak openly. That's pretty much what it means to speak boldly, to be able to speak openly, to be able to speak freely, to speak without fear, to speak with confidence. Those are words that begin to describe what it means to be bold. Now, let's talk about very quickly what boldness is not. Before we get into all the nuts and bolts of boldness, what boldness is not. Amen. Boldness is not some sort of carnal audaciousness. Boldness is not some proud bravado. You can speak because you speak loud because you can. It's not about being loud. Being bold is not a rowdy abrasiveness. We've all seen people that speak loud and speak hard and maybe even speak harsh, and they come off as being very bold. That's not boldness. Scripturally speaking, that's not a boldness. And so when we talk about boldness, when we talk about boldness in the Christian life, boldness in the Christian life is supplied by the Holy Ghost and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Our boldness is supplied by the Holy Ghost, paid for by the blood of Jesus, the cross. You say, what does the cross have to do with our boldness? It has everything to do with our boldness. Everything to do with our boldness. Everything that we receive is through the cross. Even the boldness that we have through the Holy Spirit, it's by the cross. Amen? So we must keep that in mind. Being bold for Christ is not some personal character trait. It can't be palmed off as, well, some people are bold and some people are not. Some people have it and some people don't. That's just a bold guy. That's just a bold young lady for Christ. She's bold. That's not who I am. We can't say that. We cannot say that. Now, I will tell you straight. I will be the first one to tell you that I myself personally, on a personal level, if I can get a little transparent here, I am the shyest person that you will ever meet. I am the shyest person that you will ever meet. And so, but what does that have to do with boldness? My character, my own personal character trait is that I am shy. But my own Holy Spirit character trait is that I am bold. I am bold in Christ. Amen? So that I know, at least for myself, I know that when I speak, it's not me. When I speak, it's not me, because I can't do it. I cannot speak. Trust me, I cannot speak. And so being bold for Christ is not some personal character trait. It is a living, it is an active, it is a divine attribute. Once again, supplied to us by the Holy Spirit through the cross. Now, the problem is we do not always walk in boldness. We don't walk in the boldness that has been given to us. We do not walk in this divine enablement. We all do not. And there are various reasons why we don't walk in the boldness that we have been given. We don't walk in it. Now, once again, keep in mind, being bold is not just being loud. Okay? It's not just being loud or abrasive or giving somebody a piece of your mind and making sure they know what you believe and making sure that... That's not being bold. Once again, there's an edge of carnality in that. And that's not what boldness is. Amen? There's something greater in boldness. We're going to talk about some of the reasons why we don't walk and why we don't exercise the boldness that we have been given. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Now, is boldness an option? Can I choose to not be bold? Can I just say, I'm going to leave the boldness to the pastors? I'm going to leave the boldness to the people that feel led to be bold. I'm going to leave the boldness to the teachers and to the preachers. And boldness is not an option. You cannot choose not to be bold. I mean, you can choose not to be bold. I mean, you can say, listen, I'm just not going to do it. It happens. The reasons why we don't walk in this boldness are multiple. Now, the first reason that will come to light is the fact that it's because of fear. Fear. And we know what scripture says in the book of 1 Timothy, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of love and of a sound mind. So we understand that that type of fear is not of God. That type of fear is not of God. So we understand that. But when it comes to being bold, yes, sometimes one of the reasons why we do not walk in this divine enablement is because of fear. We are afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of what others might say. Afraid of what others might do. Afraid of what others will say about us. The disciples, when Jesus was arrested and they fled and they scattered, the next thing we know about the disciples... After the resurrection, they are locked up in a room in Jerusalem. Why? The Bible says, for fear of the Jews. For fear of the Jews. So they weren't about trying to be bold at that during that time. to stand out and say, we are for him. We are his disciples. They weren't about to do that. They were afraid. They were afraid. So fear does play into the truth that, into the truth why God's people do not walk in boldness, in a holy boldness. Understand that, a holy boldness, not a carnal boldness. There's a difference between a carnal boldness and a holy boldness. And so fear. Next, another reason why God's people do not walk in boldness is because of selfishness. You say, what does selfishness have to do with being bold? In Christ, we have the answer. We have the answer to what ails mankind. To put it more practically, we have the answers for the people that are around us on a daily basis. We have the answer. Now, I'm not saying you got to go up to every person you see, and maybe you will. Maybe God leads you to it. But I'm not saying you have to go up to every person you see and tell them about Jesus. You're standing in an elevator full of people, and all of a sudden you say, you all need Jesus. No, I'm not saying that you do things like that. But you're going to come across different people every day. And every single person you know, you must assume that person does not know Jesus. At times, the Lord will tell you to give a word. At first, many times the Lord will bring people in your pathway. When I was young, I remember when I was a teenager, I would pray and ask the Lord, Lord, send somebody today that I could speak to about you. That was my prayer as a young person, as a teenager. Newly saved, well, not newly saved, saved several years. But that was my prayer. Lord, today, send someone in my direction that I can talk to about you. And more times than not, he did. He would put somebody in my path. And I had to be knowledgeable enough to know this person is here because I prayed for him to bring someone, and he brings someone. Amen? And so now, what am I going to do? Am I going to pass up an opportunity? Am I going to turn my back on my prayer? Or am I going to tell somebody about Jesus? It would come up in different ways, but the Lord would bring people in my pathway. I will never forget. There was one time I was on my way to school. I was on my way to school, on my way to work. This was high school. I was on my way to school, and I had a tract that had been given to us by our church. It was a Here's Life America tract, but they were Jews for Jesus. And I was looking at a tract, a little booklet that had Jewish writing on one side, Jewish scriptures on one side, and English scriptures on the other. It was a tract for Jewish people, with scriptures from the Old Testament and scriptures in the New Testament. And I was reading it on the subway, and sitting next to me, who came and sat next to me, was a Jewish man, all dressed in black, with the long black beard and the black hat and the curls coming down, and he sat right next to me. What did I do? Now, I know I'm reading this, and people sit down on the subway, and they're just sitting there. They don't have a book themselves. They just start looking around, and he sees what I have. And I'm sitting there looking, and I realize that this man is looking at me. This Jewish man is looking at this booklet with language that he can understand written in it, and it's talking about the Messiah, Jesus. What did I do? I didn't open my mouth, no, but he was sort of straining his neck to look. So I moved the book over. And as I moved the book over, I could see that he looked at me like, and he realized what I was doing, and he looked down and he kept reading. I don't know whatever happened, but I did that. Listen, the Lord is going to send people your way. The Lord is going to send people your way. And we need to be bold for Christ. We need to be bold for Christ. Now, and what happens sometimes, we have this message. I talked about selfishness. We have this message and we keep it to ourselves. We don't want to tell anybody. And once again, fear is a very real part of that. But we hold it. We hold it. Once again, worried about what others are going to say. Another reason why we don't walk in the boldness that has been given to us, if we would exercise it, is because of ignorance. Ignorance. Now, once again, what does ignorance have to do with being bold? Sometimes we don't know what we have. Sometimes we are unaware of what we have. Listen, let me be the first to tell you, if you don't know, the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within us is just that, power. My brother Terrence was talking tonight about dunamis. It is power. It is explosive power. It is an enabling power. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because of all of that and much more, I can be bold. I can afford to be bold. I can afford to speak out on Christ's behalf. The confidence that we have, listen, the confidence, the boldness that we have is based on the confidence we have in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done and what he is able to do. That's what our confidence is based upon, because of who Jesus is. And so, yes, we can speak out. We can speak out without fear. We don't need to be ignorant of this power that is in us. We don't need to undermine this power that is in us. We don't need to sort of squelch it and push it down. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one of those things that I can do, I can speak out in his name. And I should be able to speak out in his name without fear. Now, here's where the dark side of boldness comes. The next few, and not that these, the first few I've said are not dark, and they are unfortunate, but when a child of God becomes apathetic, apathy, not really caring. It's not about not really knowing, but not really caring. Not really caring. Not having that desire to be bold. When a child of God is at that place where they become apathetic about the spirit that is in them, they are on a slippery slope. They are on a pathway to backsliding. And that's not what we want to happen. So apathy does play a part. If we're going to talk about witnessing and speaking out the word of God, if you don't understand the predicament that every human being is in that doesn't know Jesus, if you don't understand that predicament, if you don't understand that every person that you know and I know and that we know, whether they're friends, relatives, no matter who they are, classmates, co-workers, if you don't understand that if that individual does not receive Christ, that they are going to go to a Christless eternity, and the word that you have can save them from that, Jesus will say, but your word will bring them Christ. If you don't understand that, and if you don't believe that, and if you don't embrace that, there's a bit of apathy going on. And it's easy to happen. Apathy in the child of God can happen very easily. When we get surrounded by the world, the flesh, the devil, all that pervades this present age, we can get numb to the sin that we see. We can get numb to the corruption that is around us. If you watch the news, I know most of the people that I know say, I can't watch the news. It's just bad news. I don't take that mindset. I watch the news. I want to know what's going on. It grieves us. But we need to, at least I feel for myself, I need to know what's going on in this world. And it's not good, it's not nice, and it's corrupt, and it's evil, and it's bad, and it's wrong, and it's all of those and everything in between. But once again, you and I have the answer. We have the answer. But when we look around and we see all of these things taking place, if our response is apathy, then something has gone wrong. No, there needs to be, I believe there's a call to boldness. A call to boldness, not a call to brashness, but a call to boldness. Jesus is the answer, and we must not be pushed up against the wall on that. We must not back up on that. We must not have that word diluted. Jesus is the answer, not psychology, Not another session in with the psychiatrist. Not another session with the counselor. Jesus is the answer. Period. It's Jesus. It's Jesus alone. Amen? That's so important. And so when a child of God becomes apathetic, we know that something has taken place. And this is another reason why we don't walk. Why many times the child of God does not walk in the boldness that we have. It's because of sin and carnality. Sin and carnality. Let me throw worldliness right in there. Sin, carnality, worldliness. I'm just wrap those all together. When that begins to take place, when we allow the world, the Bible says that we should not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we allow the world to, when we begin to conform to the world, then once again, something has taken place. And once again, it can take place. You and I can become numb by what we see around us to a point where it doesn't affect us. It doesn't move us. Oh, another person got killed. Another person got shot. Oops, somebody. And that should never be the case. We see these things on the news and we hear about them and we shake our head and we go, that's a shame. What we shouldn't say is, what's wrong with these people? What's the matter with these people? Well, we know what's the matter. We know what the problem is. They don't have Jesus. That's the problem. That's where you and I come in. Now, we can't reach everybody in every place in the world to get to them, but all we can do is pray. All we can do is pray. A young man comes to a door and gets shot just because he went to the wrong house. All we can do is pray from this end. That's all we can do. The prayers, the effective prayers of a righteous man availeth much. They're powerful and effective. So we can pray. We can pray. That's another bold thing that we can do. We can pray. Amen. Didn't mean to talk about social issue there right there. But once again, you understand what I'm talking about. When the child of God begins to embrace the things of the world, sin, carnality, and worldliness enter in, then enters in another aspect of it all, is compromise. If you are living a compromised Christian life, if you have allowed sin to spill into your life, and you're not really doing anything about the sin that has spilled into your life, then once again, you're not going to be bold for Jesus. You are not going to be bold for Jesus. Once again, if I could be transparent, I do remember years and years ago, when I backslid, and I was living a double life. Let me just say I was living a double life. I remember those days, and while I was living that double life, I was still in the church, and still giving off the impression that I was who I was, at least speaking that I was. I was still in the choir. I was still teaching Sunday school. I was still active in church, but I was living sort of a double life. And in church, I stood up and I taught my class in Sunday school, and I guess you could say I was being bold, but it was a hypocritical boldness. I stood up and I sang in the choir, but it was a hypocritical. It was just words coming out of my mouth at that point in time. Okay? And so yes, can you still operate as a child of God, at least externally, while you are living in a compromised state? Yes, you can. You can. If that's how you want to live, you can do it. You're disobedient, you're out of order, and all of that in between, but you can live that type of life. It's a miserable life. Take it from me. It's a miserable life, but you can. And when you're living that way, you're not going to be bold. You're not going to be truly bold for the Lord. Amen. You're not going to do it. So those are just a few of the reasons why we don't walk in the boldness that we have been given. Those are just a few of the reasons. Now, when we talk about being bold, I want to go to scripture because scripture has much to say about this whole dynamic of being bold and why it is absolutely necessary. Let me go first here to the book of Acts, chapter number four. Let's start here in the book of Acts, chapter number four, and verse number 13. Let's start in verse number 12 because I love verse number 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Amen. Now, keep in mind, once again, as we read all of these scriptures, that the boldness that we have, is given to us by the Holy Spirit, paid for by the blood of Jesus. Let me go to 1 Ephesians, because I said the boldness that we have, Let me go to Ephesians, and I'll get right back to Acts. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 12. Ephesians chapter number 3, starting at verse number 11. Ephesians 3, verse number 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. By faith of him, we have boldness and access. Alrighty? So we have boldness. It's there. Don't bury it. Okay? Don't hide it under a bushel. We have boldness. You have boldness. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. You have the boldness. It's there. It's there. We pray. And we ask the Lord to allow our light to shine. If I can go to the song, let my light shine. Amen. Back in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. This is Peter and John. This is Peter and John when they were confronted by the authorities. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. There's only one way. Verse number 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's a mouthful right there. Here in this verse, after this statement, they had made many statements, but here in verse number 12, when they say, listen, there is no salvation in any other, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's it. Jesus is exclusive. If you want to go to heaven, you got to go through Jesus. And here in verse number 13, these men standing there listening, looking, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. The absolute fearlessness, the absolute confidence that they had. But they recognize one thing. They say, hey, these men are unlearned and ignorant. They are unschooled. They didn't go to any of our rabbinical schools. They have no formal education like we have. You don't need plaques, and you don't need diplomas, and you don't need all of these things to be bold for Jesus. It's not about education. It is about the power of the Spirit of God that rests in you. It's not about those other things, okay? And it's they marveled. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These men had been with Jesus for some 3.5 years. Some say 3, some say 3.5 years, but they were with Jesus for this amount of time. And they took something away from their time with Jesus because they had been now filled with the Holy Ghost. They were now emboldened, empowered to speak out. We know for a fact that Peter became another person. This was true for all of them, but Peter is, we talk about Peter. Peter became another person. Because in the New Testament, the spotlight is on Peter so much because he says so many things. He was a little bit abrasive. He was a little bit bold. And that's how he was. We get a little profile, a little picture of the type of person that he was. But when we see him after the book of Acts, when we see him after the day of Pentecost, he is a different person. A different person completely. And so they had been with Jesus. Time well spent with Jesus will enhance, will increase your boldness. The more time you spend with Jesus. Amen. That's important. Now in verse number 29, Acts chapter 4, verse number 29. Here's what happens. They had gone to their own company, and praise God for having your own company. In verse number 23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company. They went to their own people. Listen, you're gonna gain strength from your own company, from your own people, people with like belief, with like faith, with a like understanding. You're gonna gain strength from these people. And so Peter and John go to their own company and tell them what had just happened to them. They were threatened and they were released. They were beaten. They were threatened. They were released. And they went out and they went to their own company, their own people. You need your own company. And as they speak, down in verse number 29, when they begin to pray now, and now, Lord, here's the end of their prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Why do you think they said, now behold their threatenings? They threatened us. They said, if we keep talking in your name, they're going to get us. They're going to beat us again. We're going to get arrested. We're going to get thrown in jail again. You don't think they know that? You don't think that's in the front of their minds? It is. Lord, behold their threatenings. Listen to what they said. You know what they said, Lord. And listen to the next part of the prayer. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness. Yeah. It was a total understanding of the consequences of being bold. And that's part of being bold. Part of being bold is not minding the consequences. Because there's a price to pay for being bold at times. At times, there will be a price to pay for being bold. We told you to hush. We told you to be quiet. We told you don't talk anymore in his name. What do? They pray for more boldness so they can go out and talk in his name. And this is what happened, that grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, don't hold back nothing, Lord. Give us all the boldness that we need to do this, that all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. That is a wide open prayer. What that prayer says is, Lord, here I am. Do with me what you want. Give me what you want so I can do whatever you want me to do. That's what that prayer says. And verse number 21, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. They had their own private, local shaking of an earthquake. The place shook where they were together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what was the result? And they spake the word of God with boldness. They went out and did exactly what the authorities told them not to do. I repeat, they went out and did exactly what the authorities told them not to do. And when they went out and did what the authorities told them not to do, we pick up their story again in chapter number 5. After they had been arrested and thrown in jail again. Chapter number 5 and verse number 19. Well, let's start in verse number 18. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said. Now, how do we know? How do we know that heaven is all in? Heaven is all in when it comes to our boldness. This is how we know that boldness is not something that is a personal trait, something that some have and some don't, and some need to be bold and others just need to be quiet. And once again, when I talk about being quiet, it's not about just being bold and loud and abrasive. That's not what it's about. Here, the angel opens the door and says, and an angel only speaks what has been given to him. They are just messengers. They are only messengers. And so the message that they have from on high, from heaven, from the Lord is go, stand, and speak. Go, stand, and speak. In spite of the jailhouse, in spite of being arrested, in spite of being beaten, in spite of all of that, go back and do it again. Go back and do it again. That's boldness. That's boldness. That tells us that heaven is with us when it comes to this boldness. Heaven wants us to speak. To speak out. Go, stand, speak. In the temple. In the temple to the people. All the words of this life. Do you know how powerful that is? Go, stand, and speak and tell all the people the words of this life. That's the Great Commission right there. That's the Great Commission in capitalized form. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is a localized version of the Great Commission. Go stand and speak in the temple and tell all the people the words of this life. That's what we do. That's what we do. We are telling others the words of this life. What life? Life in Christ. True life. Real life. That's what we are doing. Amen? That is what we are doing. Go and stand and speak. Go, stand, and speak. Be bold. Be bold. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't dilute. That's so important that we understand that. Verse number, and still in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 29. It says, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Now, who do you think that's talking about right there? That's talking about Saul, the one who previously was out to get the Christians, the one who was out to do a great work for God by annihilating, by arresting, by hauling off to prison Christian folks. He was now one of them. It says, and he spake boldly. Paul, Saul, he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Once again, that is what boldness will do. That is what Jesus did for him. Immediately upon getting saved. He didn't take any classes. He didn't go to a seminary. Nothing wrong with going to a class. Nothing wrong with going to a seminary. Nothing wrong with going to Bible school. Nothing wrong with all of that stuff. Not a thing. But he didn't do any of that. Immediately upon getting saved, he immediately goes in the temple and says, it's Jesus. And they look at him and they say, isn't that the one that was just taking these folks to jail? What's going on? The Holy Spirit got a hold of his life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. That's what happened to him. Once the Holy Ghost got a hold of his life and the Holy Ghost empowered him, indwelt him and empowered him, the first thing he does is go and tells everybody about Jesus. There was a boldness that was now in him to speak in the name of the one that he had cursed, in the name of the one that he was trying to abolish. Now he was bold for that name, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now what happened? He had boldness. He had boldness. And he hadn't yet lived for Christ enough to think about it. I don't know if I should say this. I don't know if I should do this. I'm a little bit scared. He just went out and got it done. He just did it because the boldness was in him. It was there. That's one of the reasons why that we have it. And so that's important. Once again, to understand that when you get saved, boldness happens. Boldness happens. And it's just a wonderful thing. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And starting in verse number 18. Ephesians chapter number 6. Starting in verse number 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, this is Paul speaking, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. He's praying that the word of God would be have free course. Well, he was now in prison to make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse number 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You understand that phrase? That phrase caught me early on in my Christian life when I read that. Boldly as I ought to speak. I'm supposed to be bold. I'm supposed to speak out in his name. Anytime I'm given the opportunity, anytime the situation arises that is in front of me, I'm supposed to speak boldly without fear. I'm supposed to do it. Boldly as I ought to speak. For Paul the Apostle, being bold was something that he had to be. He had to be bold. He needed to be bold in his line of work, if I could use that phrase. In his line of work, he had to be bold. He had to be bold. He couldn't soft soap around issues. He couldn't tiptoe through the tulips. He couldn't do that. He had to be straightforward. He had to be right out there. He had to be bold. And each one of us also, there's a boldness that we need to have as we serve the Lord. Now, having said all of that, I've only gotten to a few of the scriptures as we begin to power down here tonight. I've only spoken about a few of the scriptures. But as I was praying, can boldness be a liability? Can it be a liability? Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been talking about Paul the Apostle. He suffered for being bold. He suffered for being bold. If you go through the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 gives us a rundown of the things that were opposing him and the things that he had undergone as of that writing. He was still yet to go through so many more things, but he had gone through so much and was all because of his bold stance for Jesus. He stood out like a sore thumb. That's what it was. He stood out like a sore thumb. He was not like everybody else. He didn't do what everybody else did. He didn't say what everybody else said. He stood out. There was a boldness that was there. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He had to be that way. He needed to be that way. Boldly as I ought to speak. I don't have a choice. Paul the Apostle understood that he didn't have a choice. And so we understand the need, the absolute need and necessity of being bold. But boldness, when it comes to boldness, there are also other facets that we also need to include. When it comes to being bold, we also need to pray boldly. We need to pray boldly. In 1 John chapter number 5, 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 14, here's what it says. And this is the confidence, that's the word boldness, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We have boldness in prayer. We need to have boldness in prayer. Amen. And that is because we need to approach boldly. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We need to approach God's throne in boldness. So boldness is not just in our speaking to others. Boldness is not just our prayers to God, but we need to approach the throne. I can bring anything to the Lord. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Boldness is something that's in us that we need to exercise. We need to exercise. Finally, we need to believe boldly. We need to believe boldly. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Here's what it says. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves, and it's talking about the deacon, but this is a principle that is for us all. Listen to what it says. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. There is a boldness that comes when we put our faith in Christ Jesus. There's a boldness that comes. There's a boldness attached to that. The cross of Christ gives us boldness. When we understand, when we begin to understand, now I'm not going to say when we understand, because I always say we don't fully, as much as we talk about it, as much as we say about it, we don't fully yet comprehend. We are stuck in these corrupt bodies. We don't fully get it. We get it, but we don't get it. We understand, but we don't understand. The cross makes me bold when I begin to understand who Jesus is, when I begin to understand what he has done, when I understand that there are no limitations on what the cross has accomplished, when I begin to understand the blessings and the benefits of the cross. Go to the book of Ephesians, go all through the Old, New Testament, and you begin to see the benefits of life in Christ. When I begin to see Christ as my life, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 4, when I understand that, as we read from the book of Acts chapter number 5, the words of this life, when I understand that this life is his life, when I understand that his life is my life, when I begin to understand that, there's a boldness that comes. Look at all we have. Look at all I am in him. Look at all he is to me. And it's about him. It's not about me. But look at all he is to me. There's a boldness. There's a boldness that comes. Yes, I can be bold. And I need to be bold because I am supposed to be bold. Speak out. Pray out. Approach. Believe. Believe. Boldness. It's so important that we understand that. Amen. It's so important that we understand that. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. And verse number 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, Paul says, that with all boldness, as always. He didn't do anything without boldness. He didn't do anything that wasn't with this divine attribute, boldness. That with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's where Paul was willing to take it all. I'm going to be bold to the last drop. I'm going down bold. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going down bold. I'm not going to go down cowering. I'm not going to go down whimpering. I'm not going to go down weak and afraid. I'm going down bold. Verse number 21, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul knew Christ was his life. He was bold. Bold for the cause of Christ. That begins to tell us what it means to be bold for Jesus. Bold for Jesus. How about you? How about me? Where do we stand? There are opportunities all around us. Let's be bold for Jesus. Amen. Lord, we bless you tonight. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. And Lord, we know, we understand that we're living in troublesome times. We're living in some hard times. And we know that fear comes upon us at times. Fear can come upon us. And and trepidation, and we don't want to step out. But Lord, you have given us all. We need to give back all to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to speak boldly as we ought to speak. Let us speak bold as always, as we should, Lord Jesus. Lord, you've placed your word in our mouths. You've placed your spirit in our, you've placed your spirit in us. Lord, let us be bold. Lord, have your way in every heart. I pray for each and everyone under the sound of your word right now, Lord, that you will touch them, Lord Jesus. Lord, give them, allow them to walk and operate in the boldness that they have been given. Lord, I pray that you will have your way in every heart and every life. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. And in your name we pray, amen and amen. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. We pray that something spoken tonight from the word of God will help you along in your Christian life, amen. Let's stand firm and let nothing move us. Let us be bold in the name of Jesus, amen. Once again, opportunities are all around us. Let us stand firm for the cause of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me just say thank you so much, Sharon, for joining us. Brother Mark, God bless you. Terrence, Keisha, amen. Dawn, Crystal McGee, God bless you. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us, Brother Leon. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Amen. God bless you all. We just want to make sure we know that the devil is a liar. Let me just put this little piece in before I close out. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And the devil is the first opposition that I gave, the first reason why that we don't step out in this boldness we talked about is fear. The devil is a liar. The devil Satan is a liar, and he will bring up and put up and show up anything that he can put in your pathway to cause you to simmer down and not to get so excited about Jesus and not to say so much about Jesus and they going to be all right and everything. You don't need to. The devil's going to put all of these things into your mind, into your heart, into your spirit and try to get you to be copacetic. That's what he's going to try to do. We need to speak. Need to speak out. And once again, boldness is not about being loud and being abrasive. It's about sometimes going over to somebody and say, how you doing? Jesus loves you, you know. Or whatever the Lord puts in your heart to say. It's not about shouting out, hey, you need to. It's just making that move. It's making that move. Being bold is just making that move and saying what needs to be said at a given time. You don't know what that person's going through. The Holy Spirit, he will impress upon you what needs to be done and what needs to be said. That's a bold move. That's being bold. Nothing to do with being loud and abrasive. Amen. So once again, we just thank the Lord. Amen. Tomorrow night we'll be back here. And we're going to continue with the Cutting It Right Bible study. The Word of the Cross 101. Continue talking about the blessing of Christ and him crucified. That'll be tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. That'll be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be here. We pray that you're able to join us. And if you can't join us on Wednesday night, you can always catch the replay anytime. We do stream live over Facebook, YouTube, Spreaker.com. That is our podcast platform. And we've just begun streaming live on Twitter. So shout out to those of you who are listening on Spreaker.com right now and to those who are watching on Twitter.com. Amen. We just praise the Lord, and we thank you for joining us here today. Amen. Sunday afternoon, we'll be here, and we're continuing in our series this Sunday afternoon, and that series is all about, I don't have it in front of me, it slipped my mind, but that'll be the Sunday sermon series, and we are going to continue there this coming Sunday. Amen. So we pray that you will join us. We pray that you will once again allow the Lord to speak into your heart and to speak into your life. Amen. So that'll be it for tonight. I am Michael Jakes. Once again, thank you for joining us. And we'll be back here tomorrow night, Lord willing, with another edition of the Cutting It Right Bible Study. I am me. You are you. Have a good night and God bless you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.